Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, Women's Equality Party voters, are you going to help give birth to this party and give it in total 50,000 votes for governor, which will give it a permanent ballot line in any race that they want to run a candidate in New York State over the next 4 years? Looks like we got one in Greenpoint. Judy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. Women's Equality Party, yes?
Yes. I voted this morning, and I voted on the Women's Equality. You know, there was only, like, three little sections, and I can't remember what they all were, that said women's equality, though. And the rest of it, I just voted working families.
Now, the Women's Equality Party and the Working Families Party are really at odds with each other. They consider, certainly the Working Families Party considers itself fighting for survival, as it would put itself, the real progressive party, the one that's really for the women's agenda in New York State, compared to the Women's Equality Party, which is a Cuomo confection and actually more conservative in its stance on women's issues. If you look at Cuomo's record and look at Christine Quinn's record, who's out front, that's the Working Families Party argument. Did you think all that through before you chose the Women's Equality Party?
You know, I didn't really think that through, and my husband and I had this exact same conversation after we left our polling place this morning in Greenpoint. And, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of one of those people that, you know, I see Cuomo on TV with his daughters and his girlfriend or wife or whoever she is with him, and they're all, you know, doing this pro-feminist thing. And in a way, I'm one of those, like, suckers that sees late-night TV, you know, buy it now kind of thing, as seen on TV product, and I would see, yes, I need that. So I see Cuomo on TV with all his daughters, and I'm like, yes, that's awesome. This guy really, you know, who really wants to help women and his daughters and his girlfriends, and, you know, this is what we need. So I didn't do as much research as I should have, and I probably will in the future. But I also kind of think, you know, this is where all these places start. They have to start somewhere, and I consider myself a feminist. And if I can, you know, have more things on the ballot that say women's equality, then I'm all for that.
Judy, thank you very much for articulating your vote for us. I appreciate it. Happy Election Day.
You too. Bye.
And Mary in Sunnyside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary. Also voting women's equality?
Yes, I did. And I have to say, I only learned about the Women's Equality Party line from listening to your show and your interview with Governor Cuomo. What was that, like a week ago? Maybe a little more?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard about it, did a little research, and decided that I had nothing to lose. That's what as long as I was going to vote for Governor Cuomo, I might as well give the Women's Equality Party a little boost.
And did you also know about the Working Families Party arguing that it's the more feminist party than women's equality and that its ballot line is threatened because this might siphon off so many votes it doesn't get its 50,000 and it loses its ballot line for the next 4 years, its automatic ballot line? Did you hear that Working Families Party argument too and make a decision that the creation of the Women's Equality Party was more important to you?
Was listening to your previous caller, and I have to say I agree with her. I think there was so little discussion in the overall media about either of these parties that I decided that the Women's Equality Party was worth, you know, giving them an opportunity, and I didn't contrast them with the Working Party's family.
Right. Okay, Mary, thank you very much. And it's interesting, I guess, what lands in people's consciousness, because that was the conversation that we had with Cuomo on the show. In part, he was making his case for the Women's Equality Party, and I was throwing those Working Families Party arguments at him from their point of view, and he was saying, no, but the Women's Equality Party is good because we need a dedicated Women's Equality Party. And at least one listener didn't even register the pushback. So you often, I guess, the pro side of something gets heard, the pushback doesn't get heard. I guess it's just sort of, you know, perception, the psychology of perception. Let's do one. Should we do one more of these before we? I think that's enough. So now we'll open it up. You get the idea of the Women's Equality Party and why some people are for it. We can take more Women's Equality Party voters. That's okay. 212-433-WNYC. Are you voting for Cuomo on the Women's Equality Party line? Or are you voting for Cuomo on the Working Families Party line, which is actually a funny way of expressing some opposition to Cuomo from the left because they keep pushing him to the left on issues since they have some clout? Or are you voting for Cuomo on the Democratic Party line? Remember the Democratic Party line? Or are you voting for Cuomo on the Independence Party line, which he also has? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Wendy in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
Brian, yes, I voted on the Working Parties family. My union, the New York Hotel Trades Council, is very much supporting our governor, Mario Cuomo, for re-election. But unfortunately, I personally feel that this is a terrible idea. I've been a feminist for years and years and years. And totally into women's equality. Obviously, it's the obvious choice. But this is going to take away from the Working Families Party, which is also very much about women's rights. So I'm sorry about this. Doesn't mean that I don't love the governor. But I think that this is a bad time to introduce the Women's Equality Party because it's going to take away from the Working Families Party.
Do you think that there's a rationale for a single issue? I shouldn't say single issue because women's issues are many, many issues. But let's say a single identity group party. Do you like that idea? I realize you're rejecting it. You're voting for the Working Families Party.
Because I think that what we need is less divisiveness and more inclusion. So I think that while all those issues are important, it should really be addressed in a coalition. And I think the Working Families Party does that.
Thank you very much. And Brian in Queens, another Women's Equality Party voter, I think. Hi, Brian.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
These small parties, I don't think, do anything. All they do is siphon off votes from the main parties. What I was concerned about...
I want to correct myself. You're not calling as a Women's Equality Party voter, right? You're not.
Well, what I did was, I saw that the voting there, it's a waste of your vote. It's not going to really amount to anything because the amount of votes that each one of those parties will garnish won't amount to anything if you want to get an incumbent out of office or even the person who is the incumbent. It's not going to work out well at all.
Right. Well, it does. It certainly runs that risk in certain close elections. This is not considered to be a close election. And actually, it may not even run the risk in close elections because they total up all the votes on all the party lines for the candidate. So if you vote for that candidate, it doesn't matter on what party line you're voting. It will still count for that person. What the Working Families Party says is at stake, and really what we know is at stake. I mean, just to state it as a journalistic fact. The Working Families Party has managed to push Cuomo to the left on a number of issues. For example, in order to get the Working Families Party endorsement at their convention this spring, Cuomo changes position on New York City being able to raise its minimum wage independently of the state minimum wage. He had opposed that, saying the state should have one minimum wage. Localities shouldn't be competing against each other for what their minimum wages are. But he agreed with de Blasio's request in order to get the Working Families Party line that New York City, he would sign a bill if it came to his desk that New York City could raise its minimum wage higher than the rest of the state. He also agreed to stop backing the breakaway Democrats in the state Senate and only support them for reelection if they rejoined the Democratic caucus and didn't vote for a Republican for co-majority leader in the Senate. So the Working Families Party has had an influence. So this is a case where it's not about who's in office, but it's about who gets to influence that person in office. And that's actually, to my mind, one of the most interesting things and maybe the biggest thing in terms of statewide policy, other than maybe control of the state Senate itself, which is also in play on the ballot today. So if you want that, you know, further left, further progressive agenda, vote for the Working Families Party. If you want to stop them, if you think they go too far, and you still want Cuomo, vote for Cuomo on some other line and deny Working Families Party their 50,000 votes for the next 4 years. So just saying. All right. You know what? So we've had the Working Families Party and the Women's Equality Party little portion of the exit poll. I want to clear the lines and take a few minutes for people to call on the ballot questions, the New York and New Jersey ballot questions, because those are the other interesting pieces of string, I think. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're voting yes or no on the ballot questions in New York State or the ballot questions in New Jersey, we just had Matt Friedman from the Star-Ledger explain the New Jersey ones. If you want to go back and listen to yesterday's show, we had two mini debates on the New York State ballot questions, and they're both pretty divisive. I don't know which way they're gonna turn out. One is a school bond issue for New York State to borrow $2 billion in order to let school districts around the state expand their facilities to incorporate universal pre-K, which is not just a de Blasio initiative. It's a Cuomo initiative. It's statewide. And also to spend money on computers and computer infrastructure. One of the arguments against is that tablets and other computers are not really the kinds of things you borrow for. Those are recurring expenses. They become obsolete. You're supposed to borrow for real infrastructure. But the supporters say there's enough real infrastructure in this with broadband, which is infrastructure. It's not just stuff. And for facilities for pre-K. And they say the school districts can determine school district by school district whether they use this technology money for computer devices or whether they use it to build infrastructure. But they are allowed to use it for devices if they choose. So those are kind of the quick pro and cons on that school bond issue, $2 billion. Another argument against is that New York City can borrow at a cheaper rate than New York State. And so why go to the higher rate rather than put the onus on New York City for this? But then the supporters say, well, if it's on the ballot, then it's easier to do because it's easier to get the borrowing done if you have all the state voters approve it. So there are some of the pros and cons on the school bond issue. And let's take some calls coming in on this one. Oh, the other one is redistricting, which is dividing the good government groups. A lot of progressives are opposed to this redistricting, this so-called apolitical redistricting ballot question in New York State, because they say it isn't apolitical enough. It would be balanced politically between the Democrats and Republicans, and that's better than leaving it in the hands of whoever happens to control the legislature in any given year. It's more nonpartisan than the status quo, but it would still be the Republicans and the Democrats getting together and determining what the district lines are. So maybe it would be a sort of joint Democrat-Republican incumbent protection plan. And so a lot of progressives in the state are saying, no, let's reject putting this one in the state constitution and hold out for a better apolitical redistricting plan that's really independent of the two political parties. But then the supporters say, well, this is better than what we got. And don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and we can always go back and change it again. But then the opponents say, no, this is going to enshrine in the state constitution and make it hard to change something that really doesn't take enough power away from politicians to draw the district lines themselves. So there in a nutshell are the arguments pro and con on the two New York State ballot questions. How have you decided to vote on these things? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Nadia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Brian. I'm voting no on all the propositions, especially Prop 1, just because it just enshrines, just like you said, it enshrines in the Constitution. redistricting and gerrymandered districts. I mean, the districts are so gerrymandered already. Like Jesse Hamilton, the current, I think he's a senator-elect, his district goes from Crown Heights to Sunset Park and, like, everywhere in between. And a lot of those communities have nothing in common. And so this is just going to further gerrymander those already gerrymandered districts, and we cannot have that. And additionally, the prison gerrymandering that it opens the door for is just kind of like three-fifths of a man, and we need to definitely vote no on that. And I'm voting no on all the propositions because I think that there's not enough conversation around the propositions. And so a lot of the electorate doesn't know what they're going in to vote for. And they go in and the language is written really flowery and everyone just circles yes. And they don't even know what they're really voting for. So I would just suggest to vote no on everything, especially the bonds thing, because I think that it's just more of like a help to the tech industry and to the banks than it will be to the students.
All right. Arguments for no votes on both the bond issue and the redistricting constitutional amendment. Thank you. Barbara in Florham Park in New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I wanted to call in about the ballot questions on the New Jersey ballot. I voted yes on both of them, but that first one was so confusing. I had a friend who, very social justice-minded, who was extremely alarmed by the language and by the interpretive statement that they send out on the sample ballots beforehand. And it wasn't until I did a little digging and research that I found that it was endorsed by the NAACP, the ACLU, Drug Policy Alliance, the Integrated Justice Alliance, and a bunch of interfaith leaders in New Jersey. And that was really what convinced me that I would vote for it.
Barbara, thank you very much. Oh, here's an interesting question. Back to Working Families Party, Women's Equality Party, from Mitch in Uniondale. Mitch, you're on WNYC. Hey.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really do not want to vote for Governor Cuomo. I'm probably going to vote for the Green Party candidate, but I do want to support the Working Families Party. So if I vote for the Green Party candidate for governor and everyone else on the Working Family Party, does that help them get the number of voters that they need to stay on the ballot?
It doesn't. You're in the position of having to choose whether you want to help the Green Party stay on the ballot by helping it get its 50,000 votes for governor, or help the Working Families Party stay on the ballot by getting its 50,000 votes for governor, because it's only the votes for governor that count toward that automatic ballot line for each party for the next 4 years. So you will have to choose between those two.
Okay, if I could just add one thing about the ballot questions. One of the reasons why I'm against the proposition to have the Republicans and Democrats work together on the redistricting is it would really hurt third-party candidates. And again, it wouldn't be nonpartisan. Why not just have defined criteria that a nonpartisan group uses to select the districts or map the districts, rather than having any Republicans or Democrats or any member of any party involved?
Right, and it might be a long shot to hope that district lines form that would wind up empowering a third party to get elected in that district in the first place. But if there is any chance, it certainly would evaporate, I would think, since the Democrats and Republicans solely would be in control of cooperating to draw those district lines under this proposal. So as somebody who supports the Green Party, I see how you would be concerned about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And by the way, I mentioned it a couple of times. I'm going to mention it again. In New York State, the ballot questions are on the back of the ballot. So if they hand you a ballot at your voting place and you see the candidates in front of you, you're not going to see the ballot questions on that same sheet. You have to flip it over. This is two-sided printing, and the ballot questions are on one side. The candidates are on the other side. Just saying. Let's see. Do we have any yeses on these New York State ballot? Let's see. We're getting a lot of no's on all the New York State stuff. Let's try. Well, how about Brenda in Brooklyn? You're on WNYC. Hi, Brenda.
Hello. I just want to tell you something, what happens when people have a redistricting. I had a wonderful congressman named Weiner Anthony Weiner.
I've heard of him.
Who helped me and a lot of other people. As a result of redistricting a few years ago, I am completely ignored, and my neighborhood is completely ignored by our congresswoman. Her name is Yvette Clark. Have you ever heard of her?
Sure.
Well, I've called her office, and I say, hey, I want to know where you stand on things. I never get a piece of mail from you or anything.
Right. Now, there's always going to be redistricting, and there's always going to be redistricting that's done to give certain voting populations more power and certain voting populations proportionally less power in certain districts. So I guess for whatever reason, your part of the district is not considered an important part of the coalition, perhaps, to get Yvette Clark reelected. I don't know that, but that's what it sounds like from what you said. It could come out a different way. And I don't know if redistricting under the current system or redistricting under the system that would be proposed on this ballot question would benefit you or change the way it comes out. You know what I mean? So do you have a sense of that?
No, I haven't voted yet today, and I'm not even sure how I'll vote, but I'm very angry that I don't have a congresswoman. Mm-hmm. I don't have somebody representing me because I'm completely ignored by this person. I am a Democrat. She's a Democrat, but that doesn't make me say, okay, I'll vote for you because you're mm-hmm. a Democrat. I want to know her viewpoints, and she just completely dismisses this entire section of Brooklyn.
Brenda, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And Susan in Brooklyn, are you voting yes on this School Bond Act? Do I see that right?
No.
Okay.
Because what hasn't been brought out at all is that all this does not go directly to the schools. The state legislature gets to vote on every project, and there are a lot of different types of projects. It's not straight on computers. There are capital things that can be done for school building and all sorts of things. And if the legislature decides that they want to go with capital projects, then nobody will get computers, mm-hmm. Et cetera, because right. We can't know what the legislature is going to do with this. If you read the language, the money goes through the state legislature, and I'm not interested in giving them money to play with that has to be borrowed.
Susan, thank you very much. And now we're getting somebody calling yes for school bond, and just for a little bit of balance and so you hear both arguments, we'll get that caller on before we wrap this up. Paul in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul. Can I get Paul? Can I just go right to line 10 there and put Paul on? I thought I was clicking on Paul. Let me try this again. Can you, in the control room, can you put line 10 on hold so I can get Paul in Washington Heights on the air? Can you hear me in there? There we go. Paul, now we got you. Hi.
Hi. I'm in Washington Heights, and I plan to vote yes on the school bond issue because it takes a lot of political will to muster $2 billion for the schools, and that political will doesn't come around that frequently. And I'm still confused about the redistricting issue because the question in my mind is, would the new language create a basis for a suit by a good government group to challenge a gerrymandered district? If it doesn't, then I'll probably vote against it.
I don't exactly know the answer to that question. I guess good government groups can already sue regarding district lines. I know there have been lawsuits in any number of states having to do with district lines or how district lines are drawn under whatever system.
Isn't that mostly for violations of the one man, one vote criterion?
That or the Voting Rights Act. So I wish I could answer your question, and I can't, in terms of how this would affect how easy it is for a good government to sue over the how the new commission would create district lines. So
right.
You'll have to look for that answer elsewhere.
Okay.
But if you find it, post it to our comments page in case other people are interested.
I will.
Paul,
thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Thanks to all of you for your calls on Women's Equality Party, Working Families Party, some of the ballot questions in our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show Election Day exit poll. One more reminder that in New York State, the ballot questions are on the reverse side of the piece of paper that you get from the candidates. So remember to turn it over if you want to vote on the ballot issues. Remember also that our election return special begins at 9 o'clock tonight. I'll be anchoring with a cast of thousands of political pundits and experts and WNYC reporters mostly at 9 o'clock tonight until. And still to come on the show this morning, we have Asif Mandi from The Daily Show, and we have Brandon Garrett, who has written a book called Too Big to Jail, How Prosecutors Compromise with Corporations. Stay with us.